Our eyes and ears have become very familiar with promotion and marketing, some of it relatively subtle, while a lot of it is full of hype. It may seem like that kind of thing has been around forever and have just been updated in the age of high tech and social media. One man who's a leader in what we've come to know as marketing and PR started in the late 19th century. His name is Arizona John Burke, and he helped make Buffalo Bill Cody and his Wild West shows even more popular. Here's Burke, played by actor Kevin McCarthy, in Robert Altman's 1976 film Buffalo Bill and the Indians.
Bill, Buffalo Bill, monarch of the West, it delights me to present this compellingly cornucopious canary, this curvaceous cadenza in the compendium of classical chanson. Words fail me.
Burke is the centerpiece of an in-progress book by Valley resident Joe Dobrow. It's called Pioneers of Promotion. Today, Dobrow is at Washington, D.C.'s Mount Olivet Cemetery to give Burke a gravestone and mark the 100th anniversary of his death. I recently spoke with Dobrow about Burke's impact, and we started our conversation by talking about what took Burke from an actor and publicist to something greater.
He started scouting out on the Western frontier in the late 1860s, and somewhere around then, maybe 1869, thereabouts, he met William F. Cody, Buffalo Bill, out on the Missouri River. And Burke had this visionary mind, and he saw, really in a glance, that this was somebody who was potentially a towering icon, who represented all that was good and masculine and heroic about the West, but also everything about the fading West and the glory that already in the 1860s, 1870s, the country sort of was getting into this misty-eyed, nostalgic state about the West that was. So Burke attached himself to Cody, and he became the press agent for him during his theatrical days, and then for 40-odd years during the Wild West show. And Burke was also the general manager of the show. He coordinated a lot of the logistics of it. He did spend a lot of time in Arizona, and this has only become clear in recent years as we've started to get digitization of a lot of the little newspapers from the 19th century. And I found a number of different clips that talked about how Burke had traveled to Tucson and to Tombstone and Phoenix in his early days, well before the Wild West. And in fact, there's a terrific story about 1881 when Burke was bringing a theatrical troupe into Tombstone. And this was just a couple of months after the gunfight at the OK Corral. So the stipulation at the show was that everybody had to check their weapons at the door. And sure enough, they collected dozens and dozens of guns and knives before people could go in and see Arizona John's performance there.
When we're thinking the late 19th century, it wasn't like you just kind of get in your car and go to the parking lot. I mean, it was an effort to actually get there. So what attracted people, and how much did Burke play a role in attracting people?
Today we have vestiges of it, right? So you can go to Frontier Days in Prescott and get a sense for what a rodeo is like today. But this was a lot more than a rodeo. This was a conception of trying to recreate what had happened on the plains, whether it was buffalo hunting or stagecoach robberies or the clashes between the cavalry and the Indians, but to recreate with a lot of the original characters in what Burke called the art of the mimic arena. So they were literally trying to recreate a lot of what had happened in real life for Eastern audiences and eventually for European audiences who perhaps had fantasized about it or had glorified these things, but now they actually got to see it in person. It was about a two-hour-long performance, and it had all kinds of different acts in it. So there were many theatrical acts of derring do on horseback. It could be Indians riding ponies at breakneck speed. It could be Mexican vaqueros riding in and sort of leaning way off the horse and scooping up a handkerchief or a hat off the ground at full speed. And so the whole thing was very melodramatic, but Burke insisted on authenticity. And to him, he always had this notion that this was not an act. He refused to let anybody call it a show. Mm. He would not let anybody call it fairgrounds or anything that sort of smelled like a circus. Or he always talked about how he didn't want there to be any tinsel associated with the Wild West. It was educational, and there was sort of a moralizing component to it as well. And so they would advertise this thing with posters on a scale that we can't even imagine nowadays, all up and down the railroad lines, pasted over every barn door, every shop. Sometimes they would mummify buildings in town with thousands of posters saying the Wild West is coming. And they whipped them up into a frenzy. And so over the course of 40 years that they ran the show from 1883 to 1916, so almost 40 years, they attracted 50 million people to it. So it really on a scale of entertainment that's hard for us to fathom nowadays.
When you mention how authentic he wanted it to be, maybe this contradicts this next question, but was he sort of one of the original hype machines? Like, would Don King have wanted to have met him? Sort of the way you can build up a fight, build up an event kind of thing?
Well, there was a lot of hype associated with it, and Burke became quite famous even among the newspaper brethren of the day for his hyperbole and his invention of adjectives and kind of his breathless descriptions of it. So, yeah, I think if you look for a modern-day counterpart, that's Don King, not a bad one. Honestly, Donald Trump, certainly pre-presidency. There's a lot of P.T. Barnum in Donald Trump, and there was a lot of P.T. Barnum in John M. Burke.
Did Burke have a soul when it came to this kind of thing? Because there are some people who will say good PR also has kind of a moral center to it. Bad PR, not as much.
Let's kind of put ourselves back. Let's, you know, grab Sherman and Mr. Peabody, get into the Wayback Machine, go back into the mid-19th century for a second. There is no marketing industry. In fact, the word marketing then, to the extent that it's in the nomenclature at all, refers to going to market. I'm going marketing in town tomorrow. Would you like to come? The industry doesn't exist. All that people do to promote things at this point mostly is print advertising. And even then, it's really tame. There's no headlines. There's very little imagery. It's really straightforward. In the midst of that, along comes Burke and these other pioneers of promotion. And they start to see that, you know, that one tentpole of advertising isn't enough to hold up the big canvas of this coming industry. There's a lot of other things that you could be doing. And so they start to invent this concept that they call indirect advertising. Today we would call it PR. But it's the idea of trying to influence the editors and the reporters at newspapers to kind of tell your story and use some of your language and your messages. And Burke becomes very involved in that. He writes a lot of letters to the editor. Anytime anybody says anything critical at all about his boss, Buffalo Bill, there's Burke right on the money. I do think that there was soul buried within the hype there. Burke genuinely felt like this was an educational, elucidating kind of an event, that it was good for people everywhere to learn about the West, particularly good for school children. And I think he genuinely felt that he wanted to use all of this for a greater good.
Valley resident Joe Dobrow, his upcoming book is called Pioneers of Promotion, and it focuses a lot on Major John, Arizona John Burke. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Steve.